Hello, this is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. I have today with me Peter Robinson, and I've known Peter for some years now, and he has a very intriguing story with Reiki. When I first met him, he was with his wife Barbara, who was also a very bright spark in our universe. And she's now a bright star in our sky. And Peter is still here, and he's in the UK, and I happened to be at a master's meeting. And so we met again, and I'm so happy, Peter, that you've decided, and I had the brilliant idea, actually, and then you decided to say yes to this interview. Thank you.
I did. I hope I know what I'm doing.
Me too. So, Peter, can you share your story of Reiki? And I know that it's very intrinsically connected with Barbara.
It is. The story starts in the late 1980s. Barbara was always searching for something, and she had been doing this all her life and never really found what it was. And in 1989, something like that, we had moved to Spain to be in the warm climes, and we were in the Costa Blanca. Our son had already moved to Spain, and so that was our introduction. It was while we were in this small town near Alicante that my son and his wife decided to look in the area for additional office space. And while this was going on, she had a bout of vertigo, and medication couldn't seem to do anything with it. And so she had phoned Barbara to say, "I have this problem, can you help me?" Well, we hadn't been there that long, but we happened to know a person also by the name of Robinson who was a clairvoyant. And Barbara phoned her and she said, "Well, I can't really help you, but I have a person, a friend having tea with me, who is a Reiki master." So our immediate reaction was to say, "What's that?" Having never heard of it. And she said, "I don't know, but I'll put him on to you." Well, immediately we had a language problem because he was Belgian, spoke French. But anyway, we managed to communicate, told him what was the problem with Anne-Marie, and he said, "I'll come and talk to her in your home and possibly give her treatment." Mm-hmm. So we said, "Okay." So a day or two later, he came along, and he had a partner who was at that time second-degree Reiki. And they treated Anne-Marie for an hour and a half and said, "If you can bring her along to our home," which was about half an hour's drive away, "every day for the next week, we will give her treatment." And so this was the introduction. After a week, Anne-Marie's vertigo had left her and had never returned. So this was the status quo at that time. And this was in the April of 1989 or something like that. And now I made a mistake there. This was in 91, in the April of 91. In May of 91, I got out of bed one morning and my right knee collapsed. Quickly, I was taken to a doctor in Alicante who spoke no Spanish, but we had this clairvoyant with us who interpreted, and he agreed he could do an operation. This was like on Wednesday. We said, "When can you do it?" He said, "How about Friday?" Well, one didn't have time to worry. Uh-huh. So I had my surgery, came home, and Guy Brakeman, the Reiki master, and his assistant came and gave me Reiki to help the healing. I had an appointment to visit the surgeon again in 3 weeks. And after a while, Guy said, "I think you'll find you don't need the plaster. And so we went for the checkup, and sure enough, the surgeon looked at the x-rays and hummed and hawed and said, I think we can take the plaster off. So this began to show us what Reiki could do, what it might mean. And from that point on, Barbara said, you know, I think this is what I'm looking for. This is what I'm looking for. Now, my chosen path in life was to support Barbara in whatever she did. So she made an appointment to go to a Reiki class. I think it was in the October. Again, that was going to be in Spanish. My daughter-in-law went with her, and at the last minute I said, I think I'd like to join you. So we had our first degree of Reiki in Spanish with an interpreter.
Uh-huh. And that was with Guy?
That was with Guy Brakeman.
Uh-huh.
Whose master was Lily Holm.
Right, right.
Pause my breath.
Oh, I don't want to pause it, but they can cut it out.
So from then on, we had an extraordinary journey, because from what I subsequently learned about Reiki and the form it took, and we were invited, just as Reiki 1 students, to follow Guy in various places that he was holding classes to assist in showing hand positions.
Wow.
He also lived in a little Spanish village where a lady had cancer, and he had given lots of Reiki to various residents,
uh-huh.
and everyone went into this lady every day to give her treatment.
Wonderful.
And it was a wonderful thing. Anyway, life progressed from October, and later on, I think in the early part of next year, Guy said, I have my Reiki master coming to do a second degree. Well, who is that? Well, that's Lily. Well, she's from Holland, but her natural language is Dutch, but she does speak English, so that's good. Barbara said, I think I'd like to do that. And I said, I would, of course, as well, because by this time, we were sharing Reiki together.
Mm-hmm.
We were entwined spirits.
Uh-huh.
Even a medium could not separate us in the light.
Wow.
So it was quite a large class for the second degree, and Lily and Guy took the initiations between them, and Barbara gravitated immediately to Lily, and she was initiated by her, and I was initiated as a second degree by Guy. From that stage, Barbara immediately said, you know, I know this is something I want to do. I want to teach it. So, Guy, what do I do? Well, you follow a path, and I'll let you know when you're ready. So we started a journey following him with various Reiki 2 classes, doing the same thing as just learning generally. Although we didn't know the language, we knew the format of the class,
right.
And we knew exactly what was going on.
Right, right.
One of the journeys took us to Bilbao, where there was a Spanish teacher, and I can't think of her name, but she had a large class, and this was an experience because she was teaching and in Spanish, and we had a tea break, and one of the students, a young lady, happened to come and kneel at the side of me. I was, of course, in a chair, and I just stretched out my hand for some intuition, and I had been gifted with an intuition, and I will sometimes put my hand on somebody and they'll say, how did you know I had something there?
Uh-huh.
Anyway, I just put my hand on this young lady's back, and she immediately burst into tears. I thought, oh my God, what have I done? Barbara got up to console her, and the Reiki master said, Barbara, sit. Let her, don't stop her, it's got to come out. And she had released all the feelings of a bad marriage.
Oh.
So Barbara in that time had developed a pain that could be, was not diagnosed, the cause of it. And we were 450 miles from home. We normally stopped. I had so much energy from this class that, to Barbara's disgust, I drove all the way home.
Oh, my goodness.
And that was that. And then, as Barbara, as I said, Barbara said, I know I want to teach.
Uh-huh.
So I become a master. So she followed a path with Guy. And at one stage, Barbara asked her if, asked Guy if she was ready, and he said no. Her immediate reaction being Aries was to say, well, what does he know about it? You know, of course I'm ready, blah, blah. Anyway, she carried on, and later he said, yes, I think you're ready, but I'm not going to initiate you, am I? She said, no, I would like it to be Lily. By this time, Lily had moved to Curacao.
Oh, right.
So our journey took us down to Miami, and we flew to Curacao, where Barbara was initiated as a master at almost at sunrise on the 31st of January.
Oh, wow. And what year was that?
That was in 1993.
Wow. Beautiful.
Obviously, this, after the initiation, Barbara went through a period of learning with Lily.
Mm-hmm.
From which, all of a sudden, I was ostracized. I was not permitted to be there. I was not a master.
Right.
And I found I was so upset and sad that no longer could we be teach together.
Right.
And I think Lily and Rolf, her husband, recognized my problem and said, you know, Peter, what is the problem? And I told them that I was now separated from Barbara.
Right.
And what we had been doing.
All your life.
All your lives. And they said, well, you know, we'd be quite happy to initiate you. He said, you have followed the path. There is no reason why you should not also be initiated. So I said, oh, yes, there is. There's a question of $10,000.
Uh-huh.
They kindly said, as you have already mentioned in the past, they accepted installments.
Mm-hmm.
From which I wish to say I did complete.
Good.
And so I was initiated under a full moon on the 5th of February, on the north shore of the island of Curacao, with the Atlantic spray washing over us.
Wow, beautiful.
So that was a journey of mastership. And from then on, we came back to a granddaughter's house in North Carolina. She knew what we had been doing, and she decided that she would like to be initiated into Reiki. And so a few days later, I mean, she became, and three others became our first students. and this, of course, was
in Asheville, or
in Asheville, North Carolina.
Uh-huh, uh-huh,
or in Silver, to be exact, but
right,
not far away.
Uh-huh.
And so,
wow, how beautiful to have your granddaughter be in your first class. It's just wonderful.
I know. And it was from there that we had joined the Reiki Alliance, and the gathering was in Whistler in April of that year.
Uh-huh.
And we decided to attend.
Uh-huh.
And so we were baby masters.
Uh-huh. Great.
There we met some wonderful people, Linda Kaiser, Helen Haberly, who befriended us. And from then on, our path started. We went up to our daughters in Connecticut, and there was a meditation group which Barbara wanted to go to, and so we went, and we told the story of our journey. And one person stood up immediately and said, "This is what I've been waiting for." And our journey into teaching Reiki classes really started.
Ah.
And this journey went on all through America, in various places, wonderful stories. And what am I going to say?
And then,
and until the time we left America.
Uh-huh. And that was like 7 years, right? Is that what I understand?
Yeah, we went for an extended holiday with Jenny.
Uh-huh.
After a financial disaster in Spain.
Uh-huh.
And we stayed 7 years.
7 years. Well, that's an extended holiday.
Not with her. We became legalized. Let me make that clear.
Uh-huh. And then you taught Reiki and traveled around
Reiki
the United States.
In various places. Uh-huh. In Florida.
Wonderful.
And North and South Carolina, New Jersey, Connecticut. And by the time we left America through not being able to get medical insurance, we had over 300 students.
Wow, great. Beautiful.
Which, again, we had taught together. This was
uh-huh.
a uniqueness, I feel.
Uh-huh.
We each had our own parts in the class.
I see.
I said history. Barbara talked about the form, and we talked about, obviously, the principles, and we took it in turns to do initiations.
Uh-huh.
So, and I still have a complete register, and 90% of the photographs of all our classes.
Oh, wow, beautiful.
Yeah.
Very organized.
So that's it.
Yeah, wonderful. So then,
and
when
during this time, I mean, so many wonderful things happened.
Do you have a story that pops to mind? I love stories.
I think the one real story is the story of Sunday school children.
Sunday school children. Okay.
It's a little unorthodox.
Okay.
Bearing in mind that we were living in the Baptist Bible Belt in North Carolina, this time near Asheville. And we had been introduced by a Reiki student of ours to a very open-minded church nearby. And we hadn't been there that long. We got to know the minister and his wife. And one day they approached us and said, "Would we do Reiki for the children?" So we said, "Yes, why not? We'll let you know more about it later on." Well, about 3 weeks later, "How about doing Reiki for the children next Sunday?" "Yes. How long have we got?" "Well, an hour and a quarter while they're at Sunday school." So we thought long about this. What on earth do we do? And we decided that we would do a form of Reiki 1 condensed.
Uh-huh.
Not strictly Suishiki Ryoho.
Right.
We were told that there would be anything between 2 and 10 children.
Uh-huh.
And their ages could range between 4 and 12.
Uh-huh.
So we arrive on that Sunday morning. It is pouring with rain. And by 5 to 10, just before the start of the Sunday school class, nobody there. And then a young lady of 8 years old ran in, dashed straight past us with the words that my mum wouldn't let me have a cooked breakfast this morning. I thought, well, that's a good start. Put us in a good frame of mind. We had also been told we would have a helper because the children at Sunday school quite often got up and ran around and walked around, etc.
Right.
So eventually we had 10 children, ranging from 4 to about 12, or 11 or 12. So we sat them in a circle and we told them the story, the history, as a fairy story. There was not a murmur from those kids. They sat mesmerized. The helper decided she could leave. So we came to the point of, well, now an initiation. And so I must admit, I did an abridged initiation on these kids. I had also printed a tiny certificate, a child of Reiki.
Beautiful.
The initiations all went well. We came to the last one, which was this four-year-old, who was a petite little thing. We stood on a chair. And I can tell you, my hand on her torso covered it completely.
Right.
And when the initiation was finished, she looked up at Barbara and said, "I saw flowers."
Wow. Beautiful.
So we all go back and sit down in a circle and we start chatting and said, "Well, who would like to send Reiki to? Who shall we send Reiki to?" And they said, "Well, Mummy and Daddy, Uncle, etc." I said, "Well, hold your hands up, point towards the circle, and just imagine Mummy and Daddy or whoever, Aunt Flossie, is in the middle of that circle." So the names come out, Mummy, Daddy, Auntie, blah, blah, blah. And all of a sudden, a young voice says, "And all entities seen and unseen." And it was this 12-year-old. Sort of mind-blowing. And so we concluded. They went back into church. The pastor asked them what they were being doing, and they all shouted out. We said, "Say cheese, Reiki." And I think the wonderful thing about it, Phyllis, is that the parents didn't know us, not really, but they had trusted the pastor that they could entrust their children to us. And this is what I mean when we've been talking earlier about knowing that you're going to change people's lives, possibly. And the evening, we had a letter subsequently, after about a week. The mother of this four-year-old wrote a letter saying that her young daughter had said to her on going to bed, saying her prayers, "Mummy, if I'm awake at night, you don't need to come in now because I have Reiki." 4 years old. And she promptly proceeded to tell her mother what love meant.
Wow.
"If so-and-so and so-and-so, that is love. So-and-so and so-and-so, that is love." And we have a letter of, I have the letter of testimony.
Oh, that's
from
beautiful.
Her, and I got several like that. And that was it. It was such an amazing experience.
Sounds like it. Wonderful.
And also being asked to talk to an adult Bible class, a Baptist. What do you say to a Baptist Bible class about Reiki?
Okay, answer your own question then, Peter.
You just said, after pondering, we said, "Be natural." Just tell them what Reiki is. And we spoke to 20 people for about 40 minutes. And they said, "Thank you, thank you." They each had a taste of the energy, or some of them did. And from that, half a dozen of them, would you believe, became students.
Wow.
So it changed my life. I've been a very black and white person, or maybe a bit grey at times, in my business life. Thinking that when I retired, I was going to put my feet up. Little did I know what was in store for me. And so we moved, had to move back from America to we moved back to Spain in, when was that, about 2000. And we did teach one or two people there. We had a sharing group. But by this time, Barbara was in still in the, all this pain, and we basically had to give up teaching. Except we often gave treatments. But again, in treatments, we gave it together.
Right.
You know.
Wonderful.
Yeah, yeah. So, sadly, Barbara passed away. It was a release from her pain. It's been a great, it's been a release for me too, I have to admit. And sometimes I feel guilty about that. But I went back to Connecticut one Christmas a couple of years ago. And my daughter said to me, there's five of your old students want to come and have tea with your dad. And I hadn't seen them for 16 years.
Wow.
And so really, that is it still my joy to follow Reiki in this? I like to attend gatherings and still be part of it. I can't
right.
physically now treat people and do initiations anyway.
I
don't think I could stand up for it. But I'll treat anybody who, I mean, where I live, some people have their ailments, never pain, I put my hands on them and they're happy for that. And they say, oh, that's great.
Right.
So I do what I can.
Right. Beautiful. Beautiful. So we've been talking in our group today about being a life changer. And that's your words. And I want to know, what does that mean for you, being a life changer?
A life changer for me or for the people we initiated?
I don't know. That's what I'm asking you.
I think
seems like both.
It seems like both. It certainly was a life changer for me. I mean, something that at the age of, well, when I found it, I was 71. I
never, you're kidding. How old are you now?
Nearly 93.
No way.
I was born in 1920.
Oh, my gosh. That's unbelievable, Peter. I never would have known that.
No.
93?
Right.
And I met, there's hope for all of you out there.
And I met Barbara in 1942 in the war in London.
Wow.
So we were married for 64 years.
Wow. That's unbelievable. Beautiful.
But we went off the path a bit. Oh, you're asking what was mind-changing?
Life-changing.
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 I think we both felt a great responsibility for what we were doing in giving the initiating these students.
Mm-hmm.
We knew it was going to change their lives.
Uh-huh.
They probably didn't know it.
No. I didn't know it, no. Really, myself.
And you certainly, and we didn't know as
right.
students initially what it was going to do for us and to us. and so I feel that there's a great responsibility there. Maybe to tell the students, you know, some of them don't know why they're there.
Uh-huh.
They're just drawn for some reason or other.
Yes.
Or they've heard of something because we never advertised.
Right.
People just came.
Yes.
It seemed. But we both felt very responsible in that direction. And we always told the students if ever they had a problem, we were always on the end of a telephone line.
Uh-huh.
It didn't matter where we were in the world. We were there
for them. Uh-huh. Beautiful. Beautiful. And that was part of your living out this responsibility as a master.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Great. Beautiful. I think that that's something that some people in the world don't have these days. And it's wonderful that you had the consciousness at that point to recognize it?
I think it taught me so much. Maybe I was taught a very important lesson at a very early age. I don't know whether it's relevant, but I was hospitalized for nearly 3 years as a five-year-old.
Really? For what?
I had a TB hip.
A TB hip.
Which is a reason for this.
Uh-huh. What does
that
mean?
And the only thing in those days was isolation and immobilization.
Oh, wow. Because I thought tuberculosis, right?
Yeah, but this was of the bone.
Of the bone. Oh, see, I don't know. I didn't
know. So, and of course, this is the days before any antibiotics and drugs.
Right.
I mean, we drank milk from the cow who hadn't been
pasteurized. So probably healthier than now.
Absolutely. So I think...
So TB of the bone. I've never heard of this.
Yeah. And so as a result, I have a fixed hip.
A fixed hip.
Yeah. So I've had no movement there. That's why my leg sticks out. I think the period... I feel the period in hospital taught me patience. Mm-hmm. Even though I was so young.
It must have been excruciating. Because at that age, 3 to 5...
I don't have...
Recollection.
Many memories of it. Uh-huh. I have some silly memories of being given, for some reason or other, a birthday present of a bow and arrow and hiding it under the bedclothes. I mean, I think it had a sticker on the end of the arrow or something.
Right.
But I suppose, and I don't remember this, I must have been taught lessons in the hospital.
Right.
Because I didn't leave the hospital until I was nearly 8 years old.
Oh, my goodness.
And, of course, my parents drove from North London to South London.
To see you.
Every weekend to see me.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's amazing.
And so I think that gave me patience. And Reiki, to me, I think one of the biggest lessons I have learned is acceptance.
Uh-huh.
Of people, situations. I feel I can talk, not to, but with anybody, whatever they are, or whoever they are. Yes, acceptance. Live life from day to day. With treating as Reiki or in teaching, we used to teach them you can't have any expectations of the outcome of the treatment.
Right.
It can be in so many forms.
Right. Right.
We've known it to help people peaceful in passing, in dying.
Uh-huh.
In dying.
Yes.
They've been able to die peacefully. The problems that so many of us have, we bury. And sometimes the Reiki brings a great release.
Mm-hmm.
People in pain, we learn that it doesn't always relieve the pain because there has to be a cause that needs to be cured first.
Right.
And, of course, we used to stipulate we are not doctors, we do not diagnose.
Right, right, right.
You want to have treatments, let the outcome.
Right.
Be whatever you want it to be.
Right. So when you left Spain, well, you moved back to Spain. You had a healing circle there. That was like maybe in the early 2000s?
Yeah, yes. We left Spain in 2008.
Oh, in 2008.
And came back to the UK.
Right. And I saw you at a conference in Buckland.
Yes.
Yes.
But I think that was probably in 2000. We were happened to be in, or somewhere around there, 2002. But we did go to Buckland Hall.
Yes.
But that was, I think that was about 2003 or something.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. But you were still living in Spain at the time. I couldn't keep track of you.
Yes, I think so. Because Barbara was in a wheelchair, so once we came back to the UK, we certainly didn't go to places like Buckland Hall.
Oh, right, because there was no way to get up and down the stairs and so on.
No.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And what did she have? What kind of... I knew that she was in pain. Was it fibromyalgia?
It was polymyalgia rheumatica. They diagnosed at one stage, and they gave her a huge dose of steroids. Then, in 2000, just before Christmas in 2002 in Spain, we were out and she fell over and broke her hip. Or she smashed the top of the femur, it turned out. And that was repaired with a prosthesis. But from that, she had a series of infections that they couldn't cure. She was hospitalized about three times, and they ended up by having to take the prosthesis out. So she ended up with no hip joint.
Oh, my gosh.
But the pain, whatever it was, she was in constant pain, never left her. And nobody could really diagnose what it was.
Oh, that's interesting.
And so...
How terrible for both of you.
It was. I mean, it was stressful.
Right.
And so coming here was also a story in itself. Coming back to the UK.
Right. I can imagine.
Have we time for that?
Yes, yes.
It was rather interesting because we had looked at housing associations and places to come. And everybody, well, you have to be a resident in the UK first. And with Barbara's condition, no way you did it. We want to move twice.
Right.
And so you've got to be a resident. And if we do that, we've got to take an apartment, and the minimum rental you were going to take was 6 months. Now, for a place to be in a home, we might be... 3 months, it might be 3 years.
Right.
And so we were members of the Reiki Association, and Barbara phoned, I don't know whom she spoke to at the association, explained our problem, and said, could they help? We're Reiki, blah, blah. To our surprise, we had an email. Do you know Howard Deshays? He's in Ross-on-Wye.
Oh, yes, yes.
He's Howard. We had an email from Howard saying who he was. We had no idea of living in Gloucester, in the Gloucestershire area. And he said, well, I can't help you because my place is not wheelchair friendly. But there's a place 10 miles away in Newent, which is a sheltered accommodation and now having a lift built. So we spoke to them here, and they said, well, you're not resident. Well, we told them the problem, and they said, well, okay, but you need to come over and see the flat. Barbara said, we'll take it sight unseen. We need to be here. So the manager agreed. And so on June the 8th, we took a flight to Cardiff and drove up to Newent in Gloucestershire, halfway between Ross-on-Wye and Gloucester. But we stopped at Ross for a hotel, which was the only one I could find that had ground floor accommodation, waiting for our furniture to arrive, which we expected 2 days later. The following day, well, I phoned the furniture people and said, how's the trip going? We're stuck in Spain. There's a driver strike.
Oh, no.
Okay, great. So how long is it going to be? Well, we have no idea.
No.
So we spoke to the manager because he said we can't afford these hotel prices at this time.
Right.
We had become friendly with the hotel owner who hadn't been there that long. And she said, well, I'll lend you two beds and all the linen and towels for you if you can arrange for it to be moved. So we spoke to the manager at the, where I'm living now, different manager, explaining what the situation. She said, okay, I can find furniture for you out of the lounge, a couple of chairs and a table, and I'll lend you some pots and pans. So we moved in.
Oh, isn't that kind? What a wonderful story.
And it was 3 weeks before our furniture arrived.
Oh, my goodness.
So we became known in Newark as the people without any furniture. So we were quickly known. And, so that was it. And then Barbara deteriorated. We moved to an extra care place for a while, where she sadly died, just coming off 3 years ago. She died, fortunately, I think, for both of us, quickly.
Yes.
And peacefully.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, it was. So, that's my story, Phyllis.
Wonderful story. Great story. What adventures.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, wonderful.
I mean, there are so many stories and incidents I could relate that would take a book almost to evaluate.
Well, luckily we have a few more minutes, so tell us some stories.
Just once? Well,
yeah.
We were living in North Carolina, and my daughter was in Connecticut, 800 miles away.
Uh-huh.
And we used to visit fairly regularly, particularly at Christmas and odd weekends. And we drove, of course. And on one of the,
you got to be true Americans, driving 800 miles.
Oh, yeah, yes.
For a weekend, huh?
Well, we did an overnight stop.
Yeah.
Oh, no, we didn't go just for a weekend to Jenny's. I mean, it was probably a week. And we always used to send Reiki forward for our journey.
Uh-huh.
And so on several occasions, it was miracles. We stopped for a coffee at some place on the journey, on the freeway, came out, had the glass down at the rear tire of the car, and there's a bulge in the wall of the tire the size of an apple.
Oh, no.
And we've been driving with that.
Wow.
60, 70 miles an hour. What do we do? I had to look up, across the road is a tire depot. And it's open. And so we drive across the road and the tire's replaced. Another time we're driving up and I noticed all the warning lights all the dials are not working. They're just... So I said, well, you better stop. So we did. And I found that a fan belt had gone. The main thing was we had no oil pressure.
Apparently.
So I said, well, all we can do is just drive slowly.
Uh-huh.
Hopefully we'll not be far away from an exit. And we were only a mile from the next exit.
Wow, great.
We come off the ramp, left and right. Left is a garage. Right is a used car lot. What do I call it? Breaker's yard.
Oh, yes.
So I thought, well, the garage probably doesn't have mechanics in there. It's just a filling station. So we went down, explained what was wrong. They said, no problem. So they had a look. They said, yes, sir, your fan belt's gone. And we were driving a Subaru at the time. So they replaced the fan belt. I said, well, we still have no warning light on. The warning light on the oil is still showing. So he had another look. He said, oh, when the other fan belt broke, it just whipped off the electrical connection. So you just plug it in and we have oil pressure.
Wow. Great. Phew.
So this is a major incident. Well, how much do we owe you? Well, would $25 be okay?
Wonderful.
I know. And so we were looked after.
Uh-huh. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wonderful.
And so we always used to send Reiki to the aircraft pilot, you know, when we were flying or for that journey of hope we kept well, etc.
Right. No heart attacks in the
that's
air.
That's right. So.
Beautiful. Yeah. And do your children do Reiki? Your granddaughter does Reiki.
My granddaughter is the youngest daughter of Jenny's husband. They married. They married 36 years, but he had three children at the time of their marriage.
Right.
Jenny herself, for some reason or other, has never taken to Reiki.
Uh-huh. And how is that for you? Is that disappointing or?
Yes, it is for me. I've never felt comfortable in asking the question, why don't you want to?
Uh-huh. Probably
she
a good thing.
She'll accept distance healing.
Uh-huh.
I mean, when we first started doing Reiki, we had gone doodle alley.
What does that mean?
We had gone balmy.
You just went crazy with Reiki.
What are Mum and Dad doing?
Uh-huh.
They joined a cult.
Oh, right.
And that's what they thought in those days. And we're talking back now in
early 1990s.
Yeah,
for sure.
And but they got to know now. I mean, they know what to do. They know, Jenny knows I was coming here and have various places. She said, enjoy yourself, Dad, you know, have a lovely time. She knows what it is.
Right.
She has no wish to partake. Although when her husband had a heart attack, we said, well, send him some distance healing. Oh, thanks, that'll be great.
That's great.
So they accept it, but don't want to know about it.
Right.
It seems.
Uh-huh. My brothers and sisters are like that. They actually have Reiki, but they don't practice it.
Right.
And I think that, you know, it's fascinating how people come to Reiki.
Mm.
And also fascinating how some people know it's not for them. You know, there's some connection, even though they don't know anything about it.
They don't even want, Jenny doesn't want to even feel the energy.
I know, isn't that interesting?
Yeah. My son has had Reiki treatments. He knows what it's about, but he's never wanted to take Reiki.
Uh-huh.
And it was his wife, of course, who was ill
started the whole thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Interesting. Fascinating, huh? The paths of people.
Absolutely, Phyllis. Yeah.
Yeah. Because then in your classes, you get these people who come and say, I have no idea why I'm here. I just heard the word and I knew I had to be here.
Yeah.
So do you believe in past lives?
Yes.
Do you?
Yes.
And do you believe that possibly that we were, the Reiki community somehow was connected in a kind of past life?
We got to know one or two very powerful clairvoyants, mediums, whatever you like to call them.
Yes.
And one of us told us that Barbara and I had been in past lives together, maybe in reverse roles.
Right.
But always in the area of healing.
Oh, fascinating.
Somebody told us we had lived so many past lives that we only had one more to do.
Interesting.
Getting into those subjects is interesting, and yes, I do believe that. And there are times when you're not meant to know.
Right, right.
We went to a medium in South Carolina. Barbara went, and she came out, and she had forgotten to take a tape with her.
Can you close that softly? Thank you.
She had forgotten to take a tape with her, so she recorded as much as she could remember when we got home.
Uh-huh.
I went a few days later, had a reading, had taken a tape, got back home, played the tape, nothing on it.
That has happened to me too.
Yeah, nothing on it.
Yeah. But what did you learn from those readings?
Not a lot.
Not a lot?
No.
Oh.
I can't really remember, but it was obviously nothing significant.
Well, I was told at one point that it was not for me to know what my past was, and it was not for me to know what my future was, because it would influence the present so much. And I think for me, that's true. As a person. And it's been a little frustrating sometimes, but one of the things that I imagine is that, and this sounds a little bit like, it sounds a little bit like Star Trek. So I'm you know what Star Trek is, yes. Right? So I'm glad I'm talking to a peer. So, in the very beginning, when I started to meet these people and find out that some people were very drawn to Reiki without knowing what it was, mm-hmm. and other people were definitely, it didn't touch them at all. Mm-hmm. Like, and that was so amazing to me. And I had this image once of feeling like that on an energetic level, that there are all these different soul groups or something, and that this soul group, so to speak, and I just used the word without any history behind it, is a group that is coming together again through Reiki, and that it won't include other people who are not touched by it. They have their own group that they will mm-hmm. go to. And maybe they find their group, like on a spiritual connection level. Maybe they find their group in this lifetime, maybe not. But somehow, Mikao Usui was like the beginning of connecting to this group. And then this group has just built. So I'm not talking, when I imagine this, I'm talking about like millenniums earlier or something, or maybe even from another planet or something, there is this connection that we have, and we're seeking our connection. So even though, I might not like people personally, that doesn't have anything to do with it. There's a kind of love or connection with a capital C that comes about that is so deep that I just really don't understand why it is. Mm-hmm. Why it's there.
Right.
But I do feel that in this creation of something that's Reiki, that we are able to meet again and share this practice.
Phyllis, we could go on talking on subjects following on from Reiki about past lives or future lives. Do we believe in reincarnation?
Right.
I'm sure we could have an interesting conversation about that.
I'm sure we could, but you're right. We're nearly out of time.
Right. Well, it's been fascinating for me. And
thank you so much for telling your beautiful story. Wonderful.
Well, it's a privilege to tell it.
Yeah, thank you.
And to you particularly.
Thank you. Mm. This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence.